جناب الله جاي جريبار هاري جايا جريبار هاري جايا غوبي جناب الله جايا جريبار هاري جايا جريبار هاري Gopi jana balava jaya giri varan hari jaya giri varhari jaya jasoda nandana jaya bhaja jana ranjana jaya jasoda nandana jaya bhaja jana ranjana Yamuna Chiravana Chari Jaya Kunja Vihari Yamuna Chiravana Chari Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radhamadava Jai Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ramo Ramo Hari Hari Hare Krishna. Anyone there?
I'm here, Prabhu, all ears.
Okay. All of a sudden it got quiet. I don't know if I got cut off or Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudirayai.
So we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 9, beginning. I guess it had that there were chapter summaries, but we don't find that here in this section, first canto, second canto. So the passing away of Bhishma Dev in the presence of Lord Krishna. Shri Suta Upacha.
Shri Suta Upacha.
Itibita Prajadrohat.
Itibita Prajadrohat.
Sarvadharam Avavitsaya.
Sarvadharam Avavitsaya.
Sato Venashyam Pragad.
Tato Vinashanam Pragad.
Yatra Deva Vratopatat.
Yatra Deva Vratopatat.
Iti Bhita Prajadrohat.
Iti Bhita Prajadrohat.
Sarva Dhamma Vavitsaya.
Sarva Dharma Vavitsaya.
Tato Vinashanam Pragad.
Tato Vinashanam Pragad.
Yatra Deva Vratopatat.
Yatra Deva Vratopatat.
Iti Bhita Prajadrohat.
Iti Bhita Prajadrohat.
Sarva Dharma Vavitsaya.
Sarva Dharma Vavitsaya.
Tato Vinashanam Pragad.
Tato Vinashanam Pragad.
Yatra Deva Vratopatat.
Yatra Deva Vratopatat.
All right, somebody Bolo chant.
Iti Bhita Prajadrohat.
Iti Bhita Prajadrohat.
Sarva Dharma Vivitsaya.
Sarva Dharma Vivitsaya.
Tato Vinashanam Pragat.
Tato Vinashanam Pragat.
Yatra Deva Vratopatat.
Yatra Deva Vratopatat.
Iti Vita Prajadrohat.
Iti Vita Prajadrohat.
Sarva Dharma Vitasaya.
Sarva Dharma Vitasaya.
Tato Vinashanam Pragad.
Tato Vinashanam Pragad.
Yatra Deva Vratopatat.
Yatra Deva Vratopatat.
Iti Buddha Viti Prajadrata.
Iti Vita Prajadrohat.
Sarvadharma Vivitsaya.
Sarvadharma Vivitsaya.
Tato Vinashanam Pragat.
Tato Vinashanam
Pragat.
Yatra Deva Pratopatat.
Yatra Deva Vratopatat.
Anyone else out there? Okay. Let's see. Sutta Goswami said.
Sri Sutta Goswami said.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Vita.
Vita.
Being afraid of.
Being afraid of.
Prajadrohat. Because of killing the subjects.
Because of killing subjects.
Sarva.
Sarva.
All.
All.
Dharma.
Dharma.
Acts of religion.
Acts of religion.
Vivitsaya.
Vivitsaya.
For understanding.
Thereafter.
Vinashanam.
Vinashanam.
The place where the fight was held.
Pragad.
Pragad.
He went. Yatra.
Yatra.
Where?
Where?
Deva Bhatta.
Deva Vrata.
Bhishma Dev.
Bhishma Dev.
Apatat.
Apatat.
Lay down for passing away. Translation. Sutta Goswami said, being afraid for having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Judas Deer went to the scene of the massacre. There, Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows, about to pass away. Purport.
One second. If I could just remind everybody, please, we have about 24 devotees on right now. So if we could all please mute ourselves so there's no background noise and Pushkar can speak uninterrupted. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Bol.
In this ninth chapter, it is willed by Lord Sri Krishna. As it is willed by Lord Sri Krishna, Bhishma Dev will impart instructions to King Yudhisthira on the subject of occupational duties. Bhishma Dev will also offer his last prayer to the Lord on the verge of passing away from the mortal world and thus become liberated from the bondage of further material engagements. Bhishma Dev was endowed with the power of leaving his material body at will, and his lying down on the bed of arrows was his own choice. This passing away of the great warrior attracted the attention of all the contemporary elites, and all of them assembled there to show their feelings of love, respect, and affection for the great soul. Omagana, Tamanandasya, Gananjana, Shalaka, Chakshu, Militam, Jaina, Tasmai, Shri Gurave, Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam, Stapitam, Jaina, Bhutale, Swayam Rupagada, Mayam, Dadati, Svapadantikam. Bukam Kroti, Bachalam, Bangalanga, Tegarin, Yakripata, Mahambande, Shri Guru, Dinatana. Iti bita praja drohat sarvadharma vavitsaya tato vinashram praga yatra deva vratopatat. Okay, so I'm enjoined that I should read the next two, and I'll read them. Tada te bratara sarve sadashvai svana bhushitai anvagat chanratayar vipra vyasa domya dayastata. At that time, all his brothers followed him on beautiful chariots drawn by first-class horses decorated with gold ornaments. With them were Vyas and rishis like Domya, the learned priest of the Pandavas, and others. Bhagavan api viparshayi ratena sadananjaya sataya vyarochata nirpa kuvera iva guhyakai. O sage, amongst the Brahmanas, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of God, had also followed, seated on a chariot with Arjuna. Thus, King Yudhisthira appeared very aristocratic, like Kuvera, surrounded by his companions, the Guhyakas. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna wanted the Pandavas to be present before Bhishma Dev in the most aristocratic order so that he might be pleased to see them happy at the time of his death. Kuvera is the richest of all the demigods, and herein King Yudhisthira appeared like him, Kuvera, for the procession, along with Sri Krishna. Was quite appropriate to the royalty of King Yudhisthira. So, first verse, back to number one. Suta Goswami is speaking this. Maharaj Yudhisthira went to the scene of the massacre. Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows about to pass away. So how he got to lie on the bed of arrows is a long, long history, which I would never be able to describe, even if I knew it all. But generally speaking, Bhishma Dev was shot through full of arrows by, it is said, by Shikhandi, although it is also said by Arjuna. That both are said. But this Shikhandi was given some sort of benediction to kill Bhishma by Lord Shiva, that in the last life, this is a long story, but Shikhandi and all these persons are mentioned in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita also. We know that the Battle of Kurukshetra in full, it started off with various leaders, and Bhishma Dev was finally lying He was one of the three main leaders besides Drona and Karna at the end. And so, but he's lying on this bed of arrows. At a certain time, he was supposed to leave his body whenever he wanted. But it so happened that the sun was in the south. Therefore, he waited for the sun to rise into the north, the northern solstice. And therefore, then he would leave his body at a particular time. There's a particular Sanskrit term for that, that he could leave when he wanted. I'll forget it just now. So this Amba was one of three princesses. The Sikandi was became, Amba became Sikandi as a benediction to kill Bhishma with great hatred, actually irrational hatred for Bhishma. She was taken in Swayamvar by Bhishma. His name is here Devavrata. He had several names. He has taken a great vow and that he would remain celibate so that his father could become, could get another wife. And Satyavati. Anyway, so he, in his previous, and Sikandi in the previous life was one of these three sisters and kidnapped by Bhishma. But because Bhishma, he was kidnapping these three wives at the time of this Swayamvar. So this girl, Amba, she had given herself, already thought that she would marry this another person. And but Bhishma came to help his brother Vichitavirya, who was rather weak warrior, to get these girls. And so when he got that, when he got Amba, he just said, well, I can't do anything because I'm celibate. And therefore, she was so angry that she should have. So she went back to her other original, to Salva, I think it was, and said, look, I really wanted to be with you. And that's too bad now. You've been touched by Bhishma, and therefore I won't have you. And Bhishma also, he didn't want much to do with her because he was a celibate. So she was so angry. She was cursing everyone, Krishna, and this one, that one. Especially she hated Bhishma. So she got a benediction by doing incredible austerities. She got a benediction from Lord Shiva that she would be able to kill Bhishma in her next life. But when she was born as a part boy, a girl. And first she was a girl, but then she became a boy. But Bhishma knew that. Therefore, he wouldn't fight with her. He wouldn't fight with her on the battlefield because he thought she's a woman. And just now she's a covered woman. So that's a long history, as everything in Mahabharata is a long history. So now they get to the point where he's been killed, or he's been shot through the arrows. It was described really that he looked like a porcupine. There's so many arrows and incredible amount of pain was being inflicted, but he's tolerating it. But at one point when they came to see him, he had no pillow. His head was down. There was no arrow in his head. So Arjuna, understanding the will of Bhishma, his grandfather, of course, they're very close. Well, they were fighting like anything. Still, he was very close, his grandson. He shot three arrows into the ground and created like a pillow for his head. And Bhishma was very satisfied. But we see here the thread of the idea that in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that there was that Bhishma, he wanted to see that Bhishma would be satisfied and also to impart the same knowledge which Krishna could have imparted, but he's showing that he'd rather have his devotee impart this knowledge. as it said here, he wanted the Pandavas present to Bhishma Dev in the most aristocratic order so he might be pleased to see them. So he was pleased, and he was, especially that one time I remember that when Arjuna, understanding the, he didn't want a pillow, an ordinary pillow, but he wanted arrows. So the arrows were shot in such a way by Arjuna into the ground so expertly with special mantras to support the head of Bhishma while he's lying there. And he would speak, and the Mahabharata is given long. I didn't really go back and look at it. I should, we should all, but there's detailed instructions. And they're given in summary here in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is, of course, Bhagavatam is the essence of the Shastras, Saram, Saram, Samudratam. Not that we must go back to Mahabharata, but if we have some desire to see the background, we can see the detailed how it went on for many long pages, the instructions of Bhishma Dev. And he spoke on, as it says here in the Bhagavatam, thousands of subjects. That person who spoke on thousands, he had understood thousands of things. He could speak very, very extremely learned. As it says here, Vriprashir, it's stressed, Prabhupada stresses throughout this, especially in these sections, how learned, aristocratic these persons were. Kshatriya is also very learned, very aristocratic. Rajarshis and Viprashis and Maharshis and great rishis. And rishi is not just a title given, but he has to be very gentle and realized person. He has to follow principles. He cannot just be a dry scholar. Nowadays, someone is a dry scholar. Similarly, the Kshatriya is stressed here in this first verse, Prajadrohat, that Yudhisthira himself, he is going to Bhishma in the mood of humility, as Bhishma is his guru. Guru Nahatvahi Mahanubhavam is mentioned in the first chapter of the Gita, that Arjuna, he saw everyone as his guru. How can I slay these persons? The Drona, Bhishma, they are like my guru. How do you expect, Krishna, that I should kill them? This, I cannot do it. Whole Bhagavad Gita is being spoken to incite Arjuna that, yes, it has to be done. But just within this first verse, that there was fear, great fear in Yudhisthira. These are not some words, but he was very showing great fear that he had killed, arranged the killing. It says Vinashanam. Vinashanam means to destroy. It says here a place where the fight was held. Vinashanam. Vinashanam. Our bhakti vinashati. There's a sadbir bhakti vinashati, six things that kill our bhakti. And they're mentioned there in that Upadeshamrita. So similarly, the word, same word is said here, Vinasham, where great destruction has taken place in the battlefield. It's described how bloody these persons were too. When they came to see Bhishma, they would, but when they first saw Bhishma, they were all fighting. They were very bloody. Here, they're dressed differently. And they're with beautiful chariots. You'll note in the second verse that they were following him on beautiful chariots drawn by first-class horses decorated with gold ornaments. So just see, in the battle, there were so many Akshohinis. If you read in later in 10th Canto, sometimes there's more description throughout how with a king, I was just reading the hearing the story of Nagnajit. There was a Swayamvar, Krishna won his daughter with the seven bulls. He gave so many horses, so many tens of thousands of horses, and so many chariots. But similarly, in the battle, when there were Akshohinis, they didn't go in there just on horses with just a saddle. The saddle and all the things were fastened with gold, with jewels, depending, you know, if there was a big, you know, there were so many chariots, all bedecked with sapphire, ruby, pearl, and very wealthy persons in those days, they practically didn't even deal with gold. Arjuna is known as Dhananjaya. When he wanted gold, when Yudhisthira required gold for his kingdom, for Rajasuya, he needed to get more gold. So Krishna told him, look, there are so many kings. They used to have yogis that gold was tossed in the Himalayas. You could go and get the gold. There's so much gold you can get there. Because the Brahmins were given plates of gold, goblets of gold, so many things of gold, but the Brahmins were so detached, they would used to dump the gold. Just, what am I carrying this for? They used to just toss the gold. And it accumulated in various parts in the Himalayas. By indication, Krishna told Arjuna, you get that gold. So every horse, every elephant bedecked with massive amounts of gold. Well, nowadays, 1 ounce of gold is now up to, I think last I checked, $1,500, $1,600, $1 ounce. And so imagine tons of gold. So every horse with gold, nowadays they think they're very happy they have plastic ornaments. But in the real wealth, of course, Prabhupada says, is with cows, with land, But still, in Manusmita, it is said that if a woman is to be satisfied by her husband, he has to provide. And these kings had so many wives. Krishna had 16,108 wives. Each had its own palace, her own palace. So every kshatriya, he had horses. He had to provide the horsemen with so many, so much armor, all gold. All the helmets, gold, some silver, but mostly gold. And depending on their status, there were so many jewels. Amazing amounts of opulence was there. So that's how they're coming in this procession with Domya. Of course, the Brahmanas, they might have had a piece of gold here or there, but generally they didn't. They eschewed gold. They didn't care for any of these things. And the kings were always surrounded by Viprashi, by there's the verses already we read in first canto. Dvija Shrestha, Varnashrama Vibhagasha, Atakpambiya Dvija Shrestha. They're known as Dvija, not only Dvija, but Shrestha, the best of. So similarly, the Pandavas are surrounded by the best of the Brahmanas, although they're so intelligent, and there's monarchy, Yudhisthira, but he's not unilaterally making decisions. But always there's a committee of great rishis, Brahmanas, and they're giving so much instruction. And so Yudhisthira, he's seeking out the instruction of Bhishma, and he'll speak so many things on the Dharma, religious duties of all the various classes, Varnas. Not that there's only one. Of course, all the Vaishnavas, we see that there's only one class, Vaishnav. But generally speaking, in human society, there's Chaturvarnyam Mayashrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. This is being expanded and spoken on by Bhishma lying on the bed of arrows. Thousand arrows. Imagine 1,000 arrows. You could not even put your finger between the arrows. And still he's living like a mystic yogi, a fallen demigod. How can anyone live with arrows piercing his every section of his body, through every major organ? He's got arrows, and he's lying on the arrows. There, he's off the ground. Just envision this 1,000 arrows, a bed of arrows. So somehow or other, if we can understand that, he's lying there and speaking. Not only he's not dying, but he's speaking, and he's only going to die when he wants to die. So we see that Yudhisthira here is very concerned and very afraid. Why? Prajadrohat. So many subjects in his kingdom have been killed unnecessarily. He's been lamenting over it. And praja, the word praja, prakrishta rupena, pra, ja, this means specifically praja. Ja means born. And specifically, there all the subjects are born, not only the humans, but the elephants that were killed, the horses that were killed, any animal that was killed. Sometimes someone else might have been killed. Generally, they avoided any civilian. Nowadays, they don't bother with that. But still, so many were killed, and the women had to lament without husbands. So he's very much concerned, just like we're also concerned that people are born in America, people are born in India. Of course, if you're an Indian, you come from India, and you have a child in the United States, then he becomes American. He's no longer Indian, although he may look like an Indian. He may talk with accent like Indian, but still, he is not. He's considered a U.S. citizen officially. He has a passport, and no problem. He's become an American. So everyone is identifying. This is also many type of upadhi. We're meant to become nirmalam, purified of this false designation. Everyone is thinking, I am American. So, but Prabhupada stressed on this point so many times. What about the cows? What about all the billions of animals you're slaughtering? They're all born. All these trees you're cutting down. Anyone who comes to cut a tree on someone else's land, he can be arrested even. Although they don't consider the trees, well, they know a tree is living, but they don't consider it has a soul. So by some nonsense religions, concocted religion, upadharmas or apadharma, they come to consider that there's no spirit soul. In general, they don't think there's any spirit soul. But if they do, they have some religion that say only our religion has spirit soul. Even outside of religion, you have no soul. Someone once told me, some person I went to high school with, and I wrote to them, and they asked me for a photo, and they wrote me back saying, well, I see you have no souls. They actually said like that, we had no souls. And I told that to some other people, and they laughed. Even they weren't even part of either religion, my religion or that person's religion. They thought that was funny that you have no soul. Yeah, so everyone basically thinks of soul also. Most people think, not everyone, most people think of soul. But the Vaishnava is so expansive, so liberal. He's the Mahatma, Mahatmanas Tumam Partha Daivim Prakritim. He's in the Daivi Prakriti. The Vaishnava is meant to be, is Mahatma, not Duratma. We see that this Dhritarashtra and company, especially Duryodhan, he's known as Duratma, Durbuddhi. Durbuddhi, twisted, wicked. He has his kriti, duskriti. He has kriti, means merit. You can do something. Sure, you can do something. But he's seeing that this is mine. Whole battle of Kurukshetra that we come to now here is in this first canto, summarized at least, as all because this Durbuddhi. They all, Prichi Chikirshiva. So many people, so rascal, they want to please him. Even Bhishmadev, in his pastime, he is working on the wrong side with this Durbuddhi. Dhritarashtra, in the end, Dhritarashtra got some good instruction and he was able to get some liberation. We don't know exactly the liberation, but he got liberation. But and even there were some principles, even Duryodhan was disgusted when he saw that he could kill the sons of the Pandavas. He had some principles, but still he was so greedy, he would not give even the head of a pin worth of land to the five Pandavas. So the people, the animals, everyone, whether they're in any country, sarva yoni shu konteya, everyone, Krishna says, aham bija patapi, I'm the seed-giving father of all of them, whatever they are. In every, you may be dressed as an ant or a tiny bug or a cow. We have to preach this vigorously, this idea. Someone or anybody, they can understand that. Just recently, we're seeing people, they're being attracted to the movement in various ways. They may agree with one thing, but gradually they agree with more of the philosophy. Somebody agrees, yes, cigarette smoking is bad. Just recently, we've had some persons start to chant because they were told, oh, you want to give up cigarette smoking? You want to give up drinking? And they started giving it up. And by just that amount of Krishna's mercy, they thought, oh, there's some faith. They had some faith. Oh, I started chanting. I chanted one or two rounds. I joined the kirtan. I haven't drunk in a month. I haven't smoked in 5 days. Never could they do that. So they developed some faith because the principles of Krishna consciousness are so all-encompassing. We can find a way. Desha karlarta yuktani hritapo samani chaka. Arjuna spoke one verse later on in the first canto where he said that the principles of Bhagavad Gita are good for all times and places and all persons. Desha karlarta yuktani. They relieve the burning heart. The burning heart. So even Prabhupada said some Muslims he knew were reading Bhagavad Gita. Maybe not Bhagavatam, but Bhagavad Gita is there because Krishna, with his infinite opulence, and he just gave Prabhupada a tiny bit of knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, and still, after 5,000 years, most popular book. At least we say it's the most popular book. We're trying to always make it more and more popular, increasing. But still, no one can say there's another book as old or so full of knowledge. Maybe one is studying, or he's some big professor in college, but he has to spend his whole life studying Bhagavad Gita. Still, he cannot understand it. But if he doesn't follow it, if he cannot give up his envy, his material desires, kam, krodh, lobe, if he cannot give up kam, krodh, lobe, then he won't be able to understand Bhagavad Gita. Whereas someone like Arjuna, or Yudhisthira, they're understanding these things very quickly. And they are our mentors, our gurus. So they're all approaching on their chariots, wonderful chariots, and Yudhisthira, as we've been reading in the last chapter, he's feeling great lamentation for whatever he has done. So Vaishnava is feeling like that. Para dukkha dukki. When he sees others are suffering, he feels suffering. Whereas the ordinary person, generally materialistic, he's thinking para sukha dukki. If someone is happy, I am not happy. Because he's happy, why should he be happy? And para dukkha sukhi. If he's miserable, then I become a little more happy. If I can bomb this country, I'm thinking, oh, America is so great. We have bombed so many of these Taliban. We have bombed so many of these Muslims. They're very happy. And similarly, the Muslim, he is thinking, if I kill so many Sunnis, I may die. That's okay. Then he's a Shiite. He's also, even though he's a Muslim in the same religion, but if he kills them, then they're thinking, oh, we're very happy. He is gone. He's martyred. Let me see a picture of your son. Oh, he died at 17, 15, 12. So they take this as happiness, that they have inflicted so much misery. Just like one devotee, he got in a cab, not recently, but he told me, well, the cab driver was saying, when the Gulf War was going on, he was saying, but as a Muslim, I have to take great pleasure that the Americans are killed. He was plainly admitting. Of course, nowadays, they might get recorded and didn't know what would happen to him. But in the early time, he said like that. This is our religion. And they make so many statements. You may like life. We like death. They celebrate death. But Prabhupada said, you cannot say that that is a religion. Simply to cut throat, that is not religion. Just cutting throats. Previously, they would cut throats before there were guns. But nowadays, they still cut throat. They want to show how wonderful we are. We cut throat. They show it on the internet that we're cutting somebody's throat. They take great pleasure out of that. They think it's very, very wonderful. They have not even any compassion for any living entity. What to speak of any cow, any pig, any type of animal. They like to see them suffer, rather. They suffer. This is their pleasure. If every day billions and billions of animals are suffering. So even ordinary persons like those in the pitas, I mean, they can also feel there's something wrong with that. They should not be killing so many animals. One old friend of mine, he got one CD of a slaughterhouse that Pita had given him previously. He was a meat eater. When he saw that, he was so horrified. He said, oh, I'll never eat meat again. I'll never eat meat again. But then when I saw him the next year, he was again eating meat. He couldn't stay. He didn't have the bhakti principle. So it's important that we have this bhakti. Without that, people can't maintain that position. They can artificially feel something. Yes, this is wrong to kill so many animals and they shouldn't be killed. But then again, so many dogs every day even are killed. Thousands, thousands. If there were, you know, that's the only way they can figure it. There would be millions of dogs everywhere running over the entire United States, they figure. But they want to stop that also. And we shouldn't take milk, so it becomes very twisted. But the Vaishnava principles are completely perfect. Sarva Dharma Shah, the essence. Chant, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the essence of all religion, he says, is to samsara koro charyanachar, Krishna nam jive doya sarva dharma shar. Krishna nam jive doya. You want to show mercy. Sri Krishna Chaitanya doya koro, jive doya koro, he says, come to show mercy to all the jivas, not simply to the human being, especially human being, because you can understand this philosophy, you can chant the holy name, but all. And this is the essence of all religion. This is the essence of all religion. We feel great love. If one loves Krishna, automatically he will love everyone. He'll love everyone. Krishna is giving so many instructions how to attain that consciousness. Somebody's knocking at my door. Anyone there? Anyway, they have a key. So we're taking great pleasure in this Bhagavatam, these first three verses. Oh, I'm on the phone. Sorry. So anyway, I'm going to wind it down if anybody has any comments.
Thank you, Prabhuji. That was an interesting point you were saying, that someone was instructed to chant Hare Krishna or take part in our principles in some way to stop smoking cigarettes. Tell us more about that. Who gave such an instruction?
I'm not sure,
how'd
but
that come about?
It recently happened in Gainesville with some people that were they were at Walmart and preaching at Walmart, or they met some devotee at Walmart. Just sometimes you give out books, they get a table and they sit in front there and they talk to people like that. And so somebody was instructed like that. Why don't you? I don't know how the conversation came up to that point, but just by that one thing, they developed faith. They said, "Wow, I chanted and I gave up cigarettes." And another person, separate completely, that person was drinking and they gave up drinking. "Oh, I haven't drank in a month," and they were so proud of themselves, you know, that they could give up drinking.
It would make sense that Krishna, to encourage someone, if they're, you know, some bhakti, Krishna would reciprocate to encourage them in their spiritual life. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I sort of thought it was interesting. I haven't met those people. I think I'm not sure if they've been out to the farm here or whatever. I'm not sure who they are. I might find out, but, there's preaching going on.
Wasn't that mentioned in this morning's class?
They made an announcement about it.
Yeah, they were saying that they came to the student center. They've been coming regularly. It was Mother Akuti was talking about that when she was giving her class at the Gainesville Preaching Center, that these two people that had received books from the Walmart book table, they came and they've been coming regularly. And when they've been coming regularly to the programs at the preaching center, they were mentioning how they had problems. We're talking about renunciation. Even a little bit of renunciation, people feel that is a nice point, that they were able to give something up. And she gave the example of this person who gave up smoking cigarettes, and he gave that all the credit to chanting Hare Krishna and coming to the temple there, the preaching center. And the other lady also, or the other person, was about the drinking, how they were very pleased with the renunciation, how renunciation is very pleasing.
Yeah, okay, great examples for renunciation. And people, Aishvarasya Samagrasya Biryasya Yashishashriya, as it is said by Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in his famous prayer, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shikshartam Eka Purusha Purana. He's the original Purusha Purana. Shikshartam, Shikadiya. He's giving teachings. It's not like God is some non-homogeneous, nothing, void person, but he gives teachings. And his teachings, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma says, Vairagya Vijan, he's giving his own bhakti. And he's giving automatically Vairagya Vidya. If one has vidya knowledge, then he'll automatically become detached. What is that knowledge? The knowledge that you read in 11th canto, almost so many chapters about renunciation throughout. Prabhupada says in one place about that song, Sera Se Majia, that our whole Krishna consciousness is going on as renunciation. Without that, then there's no tangible bhakti, vairagya vijja nija bhakti yogam. But they come hand in hand. Just by eating, one gets detached. He doesn't want to eat anymore. He's satisfied. So one gets bhakti, then he doesn't desire other things. They decrease. Other desires decrease automatically. But without getting some foothold into bhakti, then those things will always come back. Of course, you can't claim to be detached just because you don't smoke. Well, a lot of people don't smoke, don't drink. You could say they're detached, but if one is attached to them, then and he gets detached, then he feels great relief.
Bhagavatam says, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janiyati Ashu Vairagyam Gyanam Chaitukam.
Because
it comes as part of Bhakti Yoga.
Every step there's fear. Bita, fear. Padam padam yat vipadam nate sham. But not for the devotees. Samashitaye padapalava plavam mahatpadam punya shomori. That verse is there, but there's fear. It's chasing us. Pralayam, there's one verse. Mrityu Vyala, the snake of time, of death, is chasing us. It's the 10th canto verse. Marchyo Mrityu Vyala. Planet to planet, we're going from death. We're trying, you know, death is there. Mrityu Revena Sankshaya. We're doomed at every step. Even if we become Krishna God, still the body is doomed. Vinasham of Yayasya. But the soul is avanasi to tadvidhi. Here the word is in that first verse we just had vinasham, but the soul is avanasi to tadvidhi yena sarvam idam tutam nitya sarvagata stano. He's nitya, he's not subject to this vinasham. The battlefield, we're fighting in this battlefield and we're all being destroyed. Where our body is being destroyed. Vasam sijanani atavahaya, navani granati naroprani, tatashirani. But it's just like a cloth, a covering. So if we see so many devotees, someone's wearing a blue or a green sweater, someone else is wearing a red chadar or pink or multicolored different saris women wear, unlimited, doesn't mean they've changed. They may change saris. It's just as absurd to, at least from the viewpoint of the Mahabhagavad, from Prabhupada's viewpoint, seeing everyone as the spirit soul. He made this one's wearing this type of cloth, so if someone is wearing a dog body, someone's wearing a human body. So Yudhisthira is seeing like that. He's seeing that they're wearing different types of dresses, and I've killed them, but they're all praja. But we don't ever hear that from any of the so-called modern politicians. They simply get a post. They do what they can in their ignorance, and they go away, and everything's just as miserable or more miserable as it was. There's so many of them fighting and struggling. They come in, they make their friends fat and happy. Yes, my friend is my secretary. They can get $200,000 a year, but all these other people. Recently, there was some scandal, some small town in I forget where in the United States, in California, and it's a tiny little town, city of, you know, hardly. But they found in investigating that the mayor was getting $1 million a year, and city manager was making $700,000 or $500,000 actually, you know, three times more than the president of the United States, and they finally were busted. So this type of thing, the reason they have motivations, they don't have compassion for the praja, not even the humans, what to speak of anybody else. They're only in there to fatten themselves, many of them.
Any fallout in the Gainesville area from that that, you know, quote unquote minister who was burning the Quran? That's such big news now.
I know, well, yeah, but the thing was that was really big time when he was going to do it. Then he just did it, and somehow the news, by some incredulous fluke, they didn't cover it that much, but he had it covered. So then Al Jazeera and all the Muslims saw it. So there was a backlash, but you never know. Something may happen here, but they're pretty wary of that. I mean, the local Muslims in the United States, if they go there and burn his place down, they know there's going to be a heavy backlash, so they're probably not going to do it. But they figure he's just one guy, and so what, you know, he does it. And then they have so many people defending them, so many so-called righteous Christians or Americans. They say, no, you know, but it's a controversy. But no, nothing's been happening to him. But, you know, I read a detailed report that he carries a gun, you know, all of his ministers, there's a couple other ministers at that tiny church, there's only 30, 40 people in the entire church, but they all have 45 strapped inside their jackets, you know. But you never know what'll happen.
Pushkar Prabhu?
Yeah.
I have a question for you. You forgive me if this is a technical question, probably superfluous, but anyway, I'm going to shoot it out there. You can shoot me down if you like. We just read at the end of the last chapter in one purport, Srila Prabhupada listed what an Akshahini is. You know, so many thousand chariots and elephants, etc., etc. It turned out to be about 220,000 people. There's 11 Akshahini divisions in the battle of Kurukshetra, you know, seven for the Pandavas.
I know, it adds up. It doesn't add up to 640 million, and this was also brought up in L.A. at the time, and someone said it was more, someone said it was actually only 6 million. I mean, if you add it up, it comes to 6,400,000, not, you know, I added it up with all that one time with some people, some other devotees, and it was, it seemed to be closer to 6 million. 640 million. But anyway, Prabhupada said it's a question of zero. He kind of joked about it, but you know, some people. He said it was 600 million.
640 million.
Right, but someone else calculated it's actually, you know, only a hundredth of that or whatever. But you know, I'm not going to argue or yell or scream over it. But. Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah, I just thought you might know something.
Yeah, when you add up the Akshahini, 17 or something, or 20 total, of 11 and 17, it's not, and you can't even anywhere near get 640 million. But then others could have died, you know, but then we always hear they didn't kill any civilians. I don't know. So maybe they counted the elephants and everybody else involved. I don't really know. I mean, it's too long in the past for to go out there and do a body count right now.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's over my head. It doesn't, it never appeared to be 640 million to me, so. But then again.
Hi, Krishna. This is Carla Petit.
Hi, how are
you? Can I go back to a previous point for a second? Are we done with this one?
Yeah, do any point's good.
It was where you were talking about the smoking and those people at the, that came to the Walmart book table.
Yeah.
Where I've used this in preaching a lot, it's that I'm trying to remember where the quote's from. So if you could help me with that, it'd be really appreciated.
What
it's,
quote?
That by developing a higher taste, one gives up all the lower taste. So it'd be pretty natural if somebody develops the taste for Krishna consciousness and for chanting, that you know.
Rasavar Jambasopyasya, second chapter of the Gita.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 59, 60, I forget, maybe Madamohan knows numbers, but you, Narhar, somebody else there, but it's around somewhere between 55 and 60.
If you have a key.
Yeah,
you're about 59.
Which 59, is it?
Because it wonderfully covers that whole concept. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one verse that summarizes it, but then again, there's many that... that emphasize it and also embellish it and say the same thing and similar thing. But that's a particular, that if that's what you're thinking of, but that's a verse, particular verse.
So what's
that
the
usually,
translation?
Rasavarjam, Rasopyasya Param Drishtva. One who gets a higher taste, Param Drishtva, he sees something higher. Drishtva means to see. He gives up the lower taste exact translation?
Yes,
the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness.
Okay, see?
That definitely applies into that situation. That's good. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Oh, I mean, I know people who still smoke after 20 years in Hare Krishna movement, so it doesn't always work like that.
Well, that's where the faith comes in.
They, even though they've been chanting at least, you know, and they're still smoking. Some of them are still drinking, too.
That's a good one.
So we can't always say that it's going to work immediately, maybe next life or something. I mean, to me, like, drinking and smoking, like, I don't know, I can't handle that, but they do it, still do it. So, I mean, not that they brag about it, I'm sure, but...
But they can't possibly be having Param Drishtva. Otherwise, why would they be engaged in this kind of activity?
Well, they have glimpses of it. We all do. I mean, when you go up and down, it's this unsteady platform. You know, you go into kirtan, you feel great, and then, but then something lures you out. If it's a cigarette or a woman or a guy or, you know, a golden car or a trip to Monte Carlo, I don't know. But everyone's got their cookies, as they say, something to attract them.
I guess that's why that's what is it, the, one of the offenses is maintaining material attachments in spite of receiving so many instructions. It's what gets in the way.
Gets in the way, yeah, it definitely gets in the way. But, yeah, who knows, we come back next year, those people might be smoking, they may be, you know, who knows, maybe they'll be chanting 64 rounds. We'll see what happens. I mean, that's probably one of his main premises, that the brahmanas, like you mentioned here, the Dvijasrestha Viparshes, Prabhupada's trying to create Brahmins. He tried like anything, and even on his practically his deathbed, I remember I was in Prabhupada's room, and in the very last days, and almost the last day that he could even walk with help, he came into his room, and a big minister was there to see him with his family from South India. I think he was the governor of either Tamil Nadu, or he came to invite Prabhupada to come to a health station up in the mountains in South India. So he was speaking that I was asked to come in and help arrange chairs for this guy's whole party with his family. And so anyway, so I sat there and listened to the conversation, obviously. And it was in, say, May, June of July of 77 in Vrindavan. And he was speaking, oh, Swamiji, your health is bad. And I'm so concerned. Why don't you come to... Anyway, Prabhupada immediately just started talking about the health of the human society, how the Brahmins are the head, and because the head is in disrepair, there's no head at all, then how can the body be functioning even? He completely took it as a chance to preach. He didn't even talk about his own body at all. I think that's there in the conversations, though. I think it's recorded. Anyone out there?
Yep, push here.
Any other question? So Prabhupada was very concerned that the government should be supporting Brahmanas. They should be supporting Brahmanas. He thought, you know, we're lucky just not to get arrested or shot down, you know. But Prabhupada's idea was, he's creating Brahmanas, and the so-called politicians, they should act like real Kshatriyas and protect the Brahmins and cultivate, encourage Brahminical culture so that everyone, even if they don't become pure devotee, at least they should become Brahmanas, sadhus, like that. The Prabhupada had big, broad vision. He wasn't just trying to make, you know, manjaris out of mleches, but he was trying to cast a huge net to catch everybody.
Okay, Prabhus, it's about time.
All right.
Last questions or comments?
Just one more thing. We were mentioning about these people who came in and left smoking or what have you. Last time I was actually at the temple, I saw a couple, and this is an American couple who came, and this guy had brought in his partner or wife, whatever, and to show just your paintings. And I know that 10 years ago, it was your paintings that drove me into Krishna consciousness. I was browsing some artwork for Krishna, just in general, on the, I think it's one of the old books my husband had in his basement. And I came across your work. And I was actually asking Ramananda Prabhu the other day. I was like, is he the same Pushkar Prabhu who actually did the painting? Is he the same person who is in our class? And he said, yes, there is only one Pushkar Prabhu. There is no other person with that name. So I just wanted to say that sometimes people come to Krishna consciousness for something that totally we can think of something just as something I don't know. A lot of people have told me that they get attracted to it because the music was something that they found very, 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 very nice. And just the chanting and reciting it louder and louder and then ringing of the noise in their head, that attracted them. But I don't know. I mean, I just think that whatever it is, Krishna reveals us to us that whatever that attraction is always there for us in our heart. It's just that people are going to find it, and that will be revealed in time through Krishna's mercy.
What temple you were at recently?
Lachua Temple.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Who are you? Who are you?
My name is Prerna.
Your name is what?
Prerna.
Oh, Karuna.
No.
So I know you. I know you, right?
No, you don't know me, Prashkar Prabhu. We've never met. My last name is Garg. I know Sakshi Prabhu, and I know Sesa Prabhu. That's really about it.
But you live around Alachua?
I live in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Oh, okay. Anyway, you can see my website now. It's updated if you want. Pushkar paintings. It's got a lot more stuff on it. But if you come down to Alachua, you know, I'll give you an art book or something.
I would like to see you. I would like to come and see you next time. You know, I'm at the temple. I'll ask Sakshi Prabhu if you know if.
But you come to the Rath Yatra in Jacksonville or something.
Oh yeah, that's coming up too. Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, give me an email or something or a call, or I'll bring you a book or something. Anyway.
Oh, good.
All right.
One last thing. Yesterday, I mentioned something about paraischit, and I was mistaken. I take my words back. The word that I was referring to is paschalap, which is the remorse that a person feels. I was looking it up, and paraischit, as everybody was saying here at the class yesterday, is correct. Paraischit is those rituals that are performed with Vedic mantras, or it's a physical activity. Whereas paschatap is the internal remorse that we feel that we have done something wrong. So when I gave the mother Kekayi example, the stepmother of Lord Ram, she didn't perform, her paraischit was actually the remorse. Her paschatap it is said that she burned her heart or was burning inside, really, because of the remorse that she felt all those years because Ram was in exile. So I think that's what I wanted to refer to, not the paraischit. I was confused between the two words.
Well, yeah, paraischit, anyway, okay. Prayaschitta vimarshanam, yeah. Anyway, I heard that Narhari was explaining how prayaschitta is explained in the sixth canto, first, second chapter. You can read all about that with Ajahn Mielen. All right, then. So we're finished. Thank you, Haribol.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Wonderful class, as always.
Yes, Haribol. Thank you. And don't forget, tomorrow morning, Mother Rimala is giving class. Rimala.
All right, great. Narhar, are you still there?
I am, Prabhu. I'm still here. I'm here.
Oh, okay. You got a wedding or something?
No, not right now.
I was going to give you a buzz to find out what's going on in Hawaii. It sounds pretty weird. It's hard to understand it, but temple-wise, I mean.
It's really weird.
At the Club 51.
Oh. Maybe, you know, everybody's probably heard. Ramananaji, are you still online?
Yes.
What? You know, I mean, it's just a thought. If you want me to discuss this among everybody, because everybody's going to hear it, I might as well.
Okay, fine. Why don't you go ahead?
You want to do that now? Is everybody still with us? Or you want to schedule it for tomorrow or something?
No, everybody's still here. Why don't you go ahead?
Actually, you got to give me a minute. I want to go to I'm in my office right now. It's a little awkward. I need to go to I need to grab my laptop.
All right, get it.
Okay, all right. I'm going to sign off for a minute, and then I'll sign back on. Give me a minute or two. Okay, hang on.
Okay. It's just that there's an incident that happened here in Hawaii. If everybody didn't hear about it, you will hear about it soon. So it might be
good. Everybody have to, I mean, see, another thing is that Streetum put this article out, but no one can make any heads or tails out of her article on Sampradaya Sun, you know. And she's supposed to be a counselor. It sounds really strange what she wrote, but.
I know.
Did you read it?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, you read it. But yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Like, if you don't really know the situation, even if you didn't know it, it doesn't make sense, you know. But it, she sounds like she's accusing, you know, Batsal of everything or something. But I don't know. I don't really know what's going on. So, Karuna, you're still there? Huh? Hello?
Karuna?
Is that what she said her name was from Jacksonville?
No, no,
what
no.
What? What's your name? I can't hear it. It's going in and out. I couldn't get your name exactly. I don't understand. You've been to Alaska, though.
Yeah, it's Irma. Premna. But anyway, I think she hung up.
Oh, her name is Premna?
Premna.
Oh, it's an Indian name, or?
Yeah, Prerna.
Okay. Okay, so she, which, yeah, I don't know her exactly. I've probably seen her. But.
It's taken him a while to get there.
So, Ramananda, your bones are better now?
They're still in pain. It's taken a long time, but I'm able to move around and stuff to get some work done. Just a lot of pain. So, I guess that's nice. You know, I can still work, but I'm just burning off some of my bad karma, I guess.
So you don't take painkillers or anything?
No.
But from the beginning, you never had a cast anywhere because they were all hairline cracks and stuff.
No, just the neck breaks. One of those things.
Had a neck. So I guess you're more careful when you go in the ocean nowadays. You won't be going for a while.
No, I won't. That's for sure. Krishna really burnt that desire out of my heart. If I ever had if I ever became Punar Mustika Bhava, I would not become a surfer.
So, when you were in the water, you had a boogie board, or you?
No, I was just swimming.
You were swimming.
Just swimming, and I got slapped.
How far is it? How that far is that from where you live?
It's the other side of the island. It's a very large island, as you know. So it was over.
I know. Okay, because there's not so many good swimming beaches on your side, I think. Huh?
No.
And what? So you have to go an hour, really, or you cut across the middle of the island. There's a road, like, over Mauna Kea or something. How does that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes about 2.5 hours to get on the other side.
It does?
Yeah.
Even going straight across, is there a road across? I never took that. I don't remember. I might have taken it once or twice.
Yeah, it takes that long.
It does, right? Even going straight across.
Yeah.
If you went around, it would really take a long time.
Yeah, it takes 3.5 hours.
Then you could go to Hilo Beach. They have some funky beach in Hilo, though.
Yeah, really.
It's not much of a... First time when I first arrived on the Big Island, at the end of 69, I remember going to that. And then I moved on, lived on the beach in Napapo and Hapuna and, you know, wherever I could live for free. And but it's been a long time. It's going on 41 years or 42, so... But the names are still the same anyway.
Let's say we'll give... here he comes. I was almost going to give up on Narahari. If it's taken so long, we're almost losing everybody anyway.
Well, otherwise I would just call him and get the information.
Okay. Well, he brought up a good point. Probably this is going to come out anyway, so might as well get it straight.
Ready, Ball?
Hi, Ball. Yeah. Can you read your note? I just sent you a message.
Can everybody hear me now?
Sharing with Ramananda in writing.
We lost several people, but still there is over, let me see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 7, about 18 devotees on, so.
Okay. I mean, I'm not looking for a big audience. I just thought that if any, you know.
That's for sure.
Rather than everybody calling me individually, which would make sense.
anyway, I'll sort of give you what I know that's going on. So how did everybody hear? I guess you caught little bits and pieces on the internet.
I heard it through the grapevine.
I heard it right here.
Okay. All right. So what happened several weeks ago, Mother Shashikala was looking. Shashikala is our temple president's wife at the ISKCON temple in Honolulu. She was her daughter, who's 12 years old, Krishnaya, lovely, lovely girl, dances beautiful Bharatanatyam dances. In fact, I did a class last night for a university on death and dying. She came and did a beautiful dance for the class. Lovely, lovely girl, young Vaishnava. Anyway, she was writing in her diary, and there was an entry kind of enigmatically written about some... I don't know the details, but something inappropriate, some type of inappropriate touch had happened with the name that she put wasn't a real name. So as I said, it was an enigmatic entry in her diary, and she had that diary out. She fell asleep, and her mother, Shashikala, read that diary, and of course, being the mom, she could read right into it and see, oh my God, something is amiss here. She's not going to go write make these things up in her fantasy. So she asked her daughter about that, and it came out that apparently the temple cook, Gokula Sham, who has been the cook, just a real pillar of the temple, I would say a decade or so. Ramananda would probably know exactly. I think Ramananda brought him in from Fiji. And, apparently nice devotee, good cook, and, liked by many devotees. He was known for his steadiness and service, but I think there was always some question about the qualities of his sadhana. That was maybe a weak area that had been not really questioned through the administrations. He was a good cook, and we had skeleton crew, and they kind of let that go. So anyway, that's sort of his status: a very, very steady devotee, good cook, but a little weak in the sadhana. And so when the mother questioned her daughter about this, that it came out that there was some incident again, I'm not really clear on all the fine details, but they were in a hot tub somewhere, or there was other people around, and he had apparently touched her inappropriately. And when this came out, of course, Shashikala reacted vehemently. And in the course of that, his own stepdaughter also came forward. She is the wife of Balaram, Vatsal's son. His wife, Vishaka, who is the stepson of Gokul, also mentioned that when she was younger, that she was also touched inappropriately by the same person. So Shashikala actually did the right thing. She went to the authorities. Actually, this went on for a while. I don't think she immediately notified the authorities. Her husband, Matsal, kind of wanted to sort of handle it all in-house. But Shashikala wouldn't listen to him, which was, I think, a good thing. She went to the authorities, and the authorities came in to do an investigation. Also, Vatsal then did the right thing. He contacted the GBC. He contacted the Child Protection Board of ISKCON, who I believe Tamahara is head of there in Gainesville. And so it was reported. The the state came in and they had an interview with Krishnaya, the 12-year-old, and the mother together. And then they also interviewed the accused, Gokula, and then he was arrested. Actually, five policemen came, handcuffed him, and took him off to jail with a $100,000 bond was posted. I mean, apparently they felt that the evidence was quite strong. So that's sort of where that's at right now. Yesterday was a, I don't know if it was an arraignment. I know he came forward and made he plead innocent. Now, I'll tell you how I found out about this was it was on Srivas's appearance day. And I had put all the entries of the important Vaishnav days into my database where my weddings are, because that's where I'll see him. I won't miss anything. I won't miss any Kadasi or any important date. But I had only done it up through Gaur Purnima. I forgot to update it past that. And so on Srivas's appearance day, I missed it. But so later that afternoon, and I still didn't know it, but I got a call from Gokula, and I also got a call from Vatsal while I was doing a wedding. I wasn't able to take either of their calls. Raghava was here, and I said, Raghava Prabhu, how come both of these devotees are calling me? Is anything going on up at the temple? And he said, oh, yeah, it was Srivas's appearance day. They're probably calling to invite us up to a program. So I thought, geez, that's great. I wasn't really in a hurry to get back, but then I called them back and thought, you know, geez, great, we'll definitely go to the program. So first I called Gokula, and Gokula, he was driving somewhere. His wife was in the car, but his wife answered the phone, and she told me, she said that that Gokula had been accused of inappropriately touching Krishnaya, and that also his daughter-in-law had come forward and said the same thing, but this isn't true. And I said, well, I have to speak to Gokula directly. This is something I can't just do through you. She said, well, he's driving. I said, no, I've got to speak to him. I need to speak to him now. So they pulled over, and we got on the phone. I have a very nice relationship with him, by the way. In fact, his birthday was about a little over a month ago. And you know, he wanted a the temple. Shashikala called me. They all got along great. It's like, you know, kind of a big extended family. And she told me it's his birthday. We're having a program up there we want to do a little something, the Sunday feast. And I thought, you know, great. I was giving the talk that night anyway. And then, you know, I mentioned was any present, you know, what's a temple going to get him? And she said, well, what he really wants is a bike, but, you know, we can't afford to get him a bike. So I thought, geez, he's such a nice devotee. I'm going to do what I can. So I went up and talked to him, and he said, yeah, he really wanted a bike. So I said, all right, you know, pick out the bike you want, and it'll be, you know, on behalf of the devotees, I'm happy to get that bike for you. And then we brought him in to, when we were making the announcements after the kirtan, a lot of people were there, and we just really, you know, glorified all the great service he's done over the years, and everyone's enthusiastic. So I have a nice relationship with him. So anyway, when I got him on the phone, he really wanted to talk, and I said, Prabhu, I said, you know, I've only heard one side of the story. I've only heard your side, and it doesn't sound good. I mean, it doesn't sound, just hearing your side, it doesn't sound believable that there's not some merit to it, that both of these women, these young girls, without any agenda, would make some accusation. I haven't even heard the other side. And I said, but my advice to you is that, you know, if there's any merit to this, then you have to admit it, and you have to come forward and with real remorse in your heart, so that you can be forgiven for this. I mean, even if someone does the most, you know, egregious act, as long as there is remorse in the heart and one remains determined, you know, that he can be forgiven. But I said, in this particular case, even because of an offense against a Vaishnava, even Krishna can't protect you. Just like I was giving the example of Durvasa Muni, who had offended Ambarish. He went all the way to Krishna, and Krishna said, "You know, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You're going to have to go to Ambarish, to the devotee that you had offended, and beg his forgiveness." So I was just telling him that if you don't rectify the situation, if there's any truth to it, I know he wasn't going to admit it to me, but at least I had to tell him philosophically that if he doesn't rectify this, it's going to be a great, great, great stumbling block in his spiritual path. So anyway, and then the other point was that I told him that if you are in fact innocent, then stick to your guns and maintain your innocence, and understand that, you know, just like we were reading about King Yudhishthira, Krishna can put us in the most difficult situations, and no one fully understanding why Krishna puts us in such difficulties. But if it is in fact, you know, Krishna's arrangement, you're going to be falsely charged, and if you go to prison, then as Vaishnavas, we can accept that. This is all part of Krishna's plan for our further purification. So anyway, that was my discussion with him. And then yesterday, Sureshwar called me and said that him and Vatsa wanted to come over to my house, and they wanted to talk and go over some of these things. So we had a meeting with Vatsa, Suresh, and myself and Raghava. And some of the devotees were saying that we need to make some kind of a statement to the devotees. So we basically discussed this philosophy back and forth between us, and we're going to write something up. Actually, Suresh is going to pen it, and then we're going to sort of edit it together. And that's basically what we're going to say. I mean, we don't know for sure whether he did it or didn't do it, but the bottom line is that we're all his well-wisher. We want the best for him. I made the point, it's even possible that he doesn't even know within his own mind. I mean, we can say, well, certainly Gokul knows if he did it, and Krishna knows if he did it. But, you know, it's even conceivable that sometimes in our own mind we have so many defense mechanisms that we can put up. And, you know, sometimes we're not even sure exactly what we did and we didn't do, or to what degree, et cetera. So anyway, we're all praying for him that with his own heart that, you know, Krishna will reveal to him, or he'll, you know, on his own, you know, accept what he did or didn't do and follow with a appropriate behavior. But I think the most important thing for us to maintain is that we are all his well-wisher. There's one devotee who's very, very vocal. That's Mother Streetama, who's putting all this horrible stuff up on the internet about how the temple were all demons and the whole thing has just been fabricated because we wanted to get rid of Gokul as a cook and we wanted to have somebody else in there. So this was just some conspiracy made up by the demons of the temple in order to get rid of him, which is ludicrous. Vatsal is a wonderful devotee, and In the year that he's been here, I've become very, very close with him, and I really respect him a lot. And so anyway, that's all I know. We're all
on top of that. Wishers. Supposedly he bailed himself out, I heard.
I don't know that. I didn't. As of yesterday, he wasn't bailed. As of when we last heard together over here in the evening Hawaii time, he had not been bailed out. His bail was $100,000, which would mean you got to put up $10,000 in the bondsman. Whether it got, it's conceivable that you may have more up to date information that that maybe at that hearing his bond got reduced, which could have happened. I don't know if that happens. I don't know enough about law, whether it happens at that first hearing or actually the arraignment when that got reduced. So whether he's out or not, I don't know, but I guess it doesn't.
I mean, I thought I saw an email from either Ross or Lolium saying he got bailed out and he's staying with somebody, and I don't know what they know. But also I heard that Streetam is some trained counselor, and it's totally irresponsible of her to make some stupid assessment without even knowing. I mean, someone like who's a counselor is supposed to go in and professionally interview everybody before you make some rash statement and go online. It seems like Bob Bruce said she has a master's degree, unless he's wrong. And that is completely absurd for her to go on off like that, and like making these wild accusations without knowing anything.
Well, at the same time,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, could I? Okay.
You have something to add? Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. This is another part of the story. The story is that this little girl, she's a very troubled little woman. She's like a old woman in a young's body. And she came from the story is she's the daughter of Balaram's brother, and he married some Karmi girl. And this Karmi girl got pregnant by somebody else, and this child was born from that. And apparently she had a very troubled childhood, and she got molested when she was way before that. And she has made previous accusations of being molested, and it was proved that it was totally wrong and the person wasn't guilty. Another point is that Vishakha never said that her father touched her or did anything. She said that she didn't remember that something happened, and now she's completely retracted, saying that no, nothing happened. So,
well, I don't think here in this discussion, I don't want to discuss or try to figure out, you know, who's right, who's wrong, whether he, you know, did it or didn't do it.
I'm just trying to throw some light that there might be more to the story.
No, you're right. You're right. And I'm completely open. I don't know. I don't know whether he did it or didn't do it. And we'll let the authorities sort it out. But the point I want to make is we are his well wisher. I mean, I really like O'Cool, and but whether he did it or didn't do it, I don't know. In one sense, you know, Krishna is behind all this ultimately. So, I mean, we'll do anything we can to get him vindicated if he, in fact, is innocent. But in any case, we have the solace of knowing that Krishna is ultimately going to be behind whatever happens, whether he's, you know, wrongly convicted, Krishna's going to be behind that. Whether he's, you know, vindicated, then Krishna's going to be behind that. My point is that we all are like yourself, Prabhuji. We're all his well-wisher. I don't know, and these bits of evidence and points you're bringing up will be, I'm sure that's all going to come out in the final trial. He does have apparently a good attorney. I heard that Kusha helped to get him a very good attorney. And in fact, it was costing like $12,000 just for the first, you know, the first trial of his arraignment that's coming up. So apparently he's got a good attorney. And yeah, we're ultimately on his side, whether he did it or didn't do it. We're on his side. He's a Vaishnava. Vaishnavas, you know, he either made a mistake or didn't make a mistake. But in either case, you know, we want the truth to come out. And even if externally the truth doesn't come out, we accept the fact that, you know, Krishna may put him through something. Innocent or not, that's our position.
Well, yes, this girl has some history on Sandy Ridge of misbehaving very, very badly with young kids and sitting on their lap and acting not her age. So,
well, that'll all come out, Prabhu. That'll all. I'm sure that's going to come out. Her
so
attorney.
She's no angel.
Well, anyway, again, that's not really so much. I just wanted to say what
Well, she's the main player. Come on. You know, this lady, this little girl, she's the main player, and people think she's some little angel. So
you know
she
what?
I'm sorry.
You know, no, I was just going to say that, actually, I thought it was appropriate to make an announcement because, you know, people are going to hear different things, but I don't know if we really need to debate. You know,
well, it's just that they should be the two parts to the story.
Well, I
thought I presented it. I thought I presented it pretty fairly.
Of the whole situation, you know.
Because we don't want like a patent place that's just not appropriate in this kind of a setting.
I mean, yes, in fairness for Gokul.
Believe me, I'm on a side too. I only know the one side of Krishnaya. You know, who knows what happened in her past, but she's been a wonderful, wonderful devotee. And, I mean, a real sweetheart. But we'll let the courts sort out all of this information. And if you have information, then it would be helpful in Gokul's support at the appropriate time to convey this to Gokul's attorney. and you know, anything that you know or any evidence, then they're going to want it, and I would certainly encourage you to
do so.
Yeah,
no, this is all came from over there. So they're up on it.
Okay. I guess we just don't – we want to make sure that we're not throwing dirt. The whole
exactly.
point that there's all of this stuff out, you know, that's originating here in Hawaii. People are going to hear all kinds of things. This is just objectively what's going on. I think that was appropriate enough, but we shouldn't.
But simultaneously, some other guy got accused of molesting his daughter, and that's in the newspaper too, though. So I don't know. She doesn't mention any of that in her talk, but in her writing. But
yeah, Streetama, apparently her younger daughter, who's how old is she? She's 14. a little 14. Yeah, that. One of the guests, this is on the news. It's out there. Sagar, he's a student from the university. He's 20 years old. He comes every Sunday to the feast, and he certainly seemed like a nice fellow. But he allegedly had sex several times with Streetama's daughter. So she also had him arrested, and he has I think $100,000 bond.
So I think really that's enough. We don't need to discuss this anymore, at least in this forum.
Okay, I don't disagree, but it's going to, Prabhuji, people are going to hear it, and at least I want them to understand if I can represent the temple, because I'm pretty close with the temple administration. I know everything. I know the mood of the temple. The mood of the temple is we really want what's best for Gokula, that we appreciate all of his service, and we just want the best for him one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely not, if I can speak in defense of the temple, there was no conspiracy going on at all. We really, everybody really liked Gokula. The last thing that anyone wanted was to lose our cook. It's a skeleton temple, and everybody appreciates the service that he's done, and we just want the best. So that's all that I know.
After all that, it doesn't seem like he'd be going back there. You know, like the blood would be, the bridges would be burned, or the water would have. You know, it just doesn't seem.
I asked about all that question. Is there any chance this will ever, be rectified? He didn't seem to think so. That there was no, he would never be back at the helm. In fact, Vatsal had written had either written or spoke to Dave Amritaswamy and Kaladri and others, to try to see if we can get another cook in here to help to replace him. But it doesn't seem like it's ever gonna. But who knows? It's all in Krishna's hands. There's nothing I would love more than to see Gokul back in the kitchen. I had a very, very nice relationship with him, and I just wish him the best spiritually, no matter what. And I know that Krishna is going to do the best for him, one way or the other. Nobody, no devotee can be falsely, accused of anything without it being Krishna's arrangement. So whatever's going to happen will be the best for him.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
This is Carla Tati. Two things. One is it's an awfully cautionary tale for association between the sexes. I know I've personally been observing that I really think we're often much too lax. I mean, a hot tub, things can happen just in play without even meaning to and be misinterpreted so easily, especially, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a very perception is in the eye of the person who's perceiving, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And conscious, how do you judge somebody else's consciousness, especially in that kind of situation? The other thing is that there was a class I was participating in the other day, and it was very interesting. The devotee giving the class said, what do you think of when you're in a room with door with bars and a lock? And I came up with prison, somebody else said a cell. And he said, no, a bhajan kutir. For a devotee, it doesn't matter. It's an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna and chant Hare Krishna. That's an interesting, if Narahari's still on.
I am.
That's an interesting perception that can help if we're forced to surrender into a situation that is not externally perceived as being so favorable. Actually, it can be very favorable, especially if somebody's having trouble with their sadhana, because it removes all the external distractions.
That's exactly, we were saying that in our discussion yesterday with the Prabhus over at my place, that, yeah, we were saying, you know, if it happened to any of us, because we do, all of us, the four of us, have strong sadhana, we were all saying, hey, if we got falsely accused of such a thing and we got sent to prison, you know, we were all just smiling and saying, yeah, we, you know, I mean, ultimately no problem with it. If that's what Krishna wants and Krishna's going to put us in here and defame us and so on, then, yeah, we'll just chant Hare Krishna and be joyful knowing this is what Krishna's giving us some mercy. So anyway, but I don't think his sadhana is strong enough that he'll understand that, at least at this juncture. But anyway, we'll see. But all of us, please just pray for Gokula. Pray that Krishna,
the truth.
Yeah, pray that the truth comes out, and ultimately that the bottom line is that he becomes purified by all of this, and just wish him well.
Okay, Prabhus, I think that so announcement was made, and I thank you, Narahari. I think that you're very objective, if we need any other details, and maybe they can contact you if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, that's fine. No, anyone can contact me. Again, I told you everything I know, and like I said, I am definitely his well wisher. I don't know what's true. I don't know if he did it or not. But I do know that Krishna's overseeing, Krishna's behind the whole thing. Falsely accused or there's merit to it, Krishna's 100% involved in it.
All right. So, Prabhus, I hope that was informative enough, and, you know, no hard feelings. As Vaishnavas, all have soft heart for everybody that was involved in this. So, all right. So maybe we should break. After 9 o'clock here.
Well, thank you all very much for your association, and I'll see everybody back tomorrow for Mother Irmala's class.
All right.
Jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhus. Adar Srila Prabhupada. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Ramananda Prabhu.
Yes.
This is Sureshwara with a croaking voice from my international flight.
Should I call you back, or do you want to address the group? Okay.
I'm going to turn it back on now.
Call me back. Hare Krishna. Bye-bye.